My brothers and sisters in the Lord, it is Super Bowl Sunday. And being Super Bowl Sunday, I was reflecting this week of what occurred approximately 7 years ago, when the Saints actually won the Super Bowl. And as I was reflecting on that, I was thinking, will it ever happen again? And certainly, my brothers and sisters, we can look back 7 years and we can say that certainly at that time there were many superstars and unsung heroes. At that time there were individuals not working simply as a collection of individuals, but truly working as a team. And over the years, my brothers and sisters, there have been individuals who have given their opinions and their op-ed ads on what the Saints need to do in order to be victorious again in the Super Bowl. But I really think it comes down to a basic strategy, not only for the Saints, but any NFL team, any sporting team, and the strategy holds true. The first part of the strategy, my friends, is this. You have to have a good coaching staff that is able to put together a good strategy, a good playbook. That's one part of the component. The other part, my brothers and sisters, is this. Once you have the strategy put together by the coaching staff, then you need to have a team that is able to implement the strategy, that is able to make the plays. And when these two things come together, you reach victory. Well, certainly, my brothers and sisters, as disciples of the Lord Jesus, all of us are on a team. By our baptism, my brothers and sisters, we are part of the communion of saints. We are part of the church of God. God has drafted us. And the question, my friends, is how do we play ball? How do we live out that call to be a disciple? Because you see, my brothers and sisters, we're not playing for a Super Bowl ring. We're not playing for commercial highlights. We're not playing for fame or fortune. We're playing for eternal life. As St. Paul writes, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. May I now wear the crown of eternal glory. That's what we're fighting and struggling for, dying to self and living more completely for Jesus. And you see, my brothers and sisters, our Lord has given us a playbook. He has given us a strategy. We call it sacred scripture. We call it the teachings of the church. We call it sacred tradition. We have all of these things. But the question is, how do we implement them? How do we carry them out? And in order for us to do that, my friends, in order for us to carry out this divine strategy, for lack of a better word, than as any team would need for the Super Bowl, we definitely have to have a good defense and a good offense. Because both components have to come together. And in order to have a good defense, my friends, we go back to the gospel today. Back to the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. That is our defensive plan. To be salt to the earth. And certainly, my friends, oftentimes when we think of salt, we simply think of the salt shaker. A little flavoring for food. And certainly as disciples of the Lord, we should bring a Christian flavor to everything that we do. But oftentimes that's where we limit salt. And certainly I think all of us are familiar with salt. I know my grandmother, she loved to cook with salt. She'd be cooking something and there would be a pinch of salt. And a few other things and another pinch of salt. And a few other things and another pinch of salt. That's why many people in my family have high blood pressure. But you see, my friends, that's what we're familiar with when we think of salt. But in Jesus' time, salt had a much more important purpose than just flavor. It was a preservative. There was no refrigeration. And so the salt was mixed with the meat and the fish in order to prevent them from spoilage. You see, my brothers and sisters, in order for us to be salt to the earth, then we are called to be mixed with the everyday things of life. To be, in a sense, a spiritual antiseptic. To be mixed with the things that are going on in life and the world, and to bring the Lord Jesus into those matters. Remember when Jesus prays to his Father, "I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but preserve them from the evil one." We are in the world, but we're not of the world. That's our defensive strategy, to be salt. Because, my friends, all of us know individuals that when we're around them, it just makes us a better person. And there are other individuals, when we're around them, within 5 minutes, we're in the gutter. Because we're gossiping about the neighbors, and we're talking about this one, and we're in someone else's business that we shouldn't be in. It brings out the worst in us. There was a little cartoon with a conversation between Charlie Brown and Peppermint Patty. And Peppermint Patty, on the first day of school, was called to the principal's office. And after school, she was very mad at Charlie Brown. She said, "Chuck, it's your fault that I was called to the principal's office." And Charlie Brown was like, "What? What do you mean it's my fault?" And she said to him, "It's your fault because you're my friend, and you should have had a better influence on me." Now, yes, she was trying to pass the buck a little bit, but there is some truth there. We are called to help each other out, to strive and struggle, to help each other to make it to heaven. The family as the domestic church. The husband and the wife and the children striving and struggling for the promised land. Are we that kind of salt? And if we are, how salty are we? Interesting statistic that I was reading. If you evaporate a ton of water in the Pacific Ocean, you will end up with approximately 79 pounds of salt. If you evaporate a ton of water in the Atlantic Ocean, you'll end up with approximately 81 pounds of salt. Very close. But if you evaporate a ton of water from the Dead Sea, you'll get almost 500 pounds of salt. How salty are we? Because Jesus says in the gospel, once salt loses its taste or its flavor, it's not good for anything but to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot. And certainly we know from inorganic chemistry that salt can go bad when the sodium and the chloride become disassociated with one another. Well, the same is true with us, my friends. When we become disassociated with Christ and his teachings, and we become disassociated because we lose our spiritual life and our prayer life and our connection with the Lord, then we lose our saltiness. And we cannot go into the world with that good spiritual defense. That's the first principle. The second, of course, is you need a good offense. Defense is important, but you also have to have an offense. They both have to come together. And so Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Because light permeates, my friends. Light goes forth. Just as the offense goes forth in a football game, so too we are called to go forth. To bring the light of Christ to others. As Jesus continues in the gospel, your light must shine before others so that they may see your good works and glorify your heavenly Father. What kind of good works? Go back to the first reading from Isaiah. Share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed and the homeless, clothe the naked when you see them. Then your light shall break forth like a dawn. The responsorial psalm, the just man is a light in darkness to the upright. Are we a light in the darkness, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others? And do we allow that light to shine? True story, in the 1800s or so, a doctor had to make his way to a farmhouse. He was in the center of the town, or maybe we would call it a village, but certainly he had to make his way about 7 or 8 miles because there was a sick child who needed his care at a farmhouse. Now, there were no cars at this time. The doctor was going by horse and buggy. 7 miles is a long way by horse and buggy. It was in the middle of winter, and so a snowstorm was coming in. And as he was traveling down the dirt road, he started to become very concerned that not only would he not be able to find the farmhouse he had to make it to, but he would not even be able to see the road. And so he stopped at the first farmhouse he came to, and he asked them to light a lantern and put it out on the porch as sort of a beacon light, what we would call maybe a street light today. And that farmer sent his son on foot to the next farmhouse to give them a message to light a lamp and put it out on their porch. And each of those individuals sent message to the next farmhouse so that there would be an illuminated path for the doctor in order for him to make his way all the way to where the sick child was. The path was illuminated. That's a wonderful image, my brothers and sisters, of our offense. You are the light of the world. Do we illuminate the path? Not only for ourselves, but for others, to bring people closer to Jesus. I'm sure, my brothers and sisters, there are times, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm sure there are times that Tom Benson kind of wonders about his saints. But you know what? Jesus never doubts. Jesus never wonders. Because he always gives the grace. And he's waiting for us to cooperate with it. I'm sure there are individuals, when you hear that song, who would that say they're going to beat them saints? They can go with a litany of teens. But my friends, as the true who dat nation, and that is the Church of God, the communion of saints, there is no man on earth, there's no devil in hell that will stop the plan that God has in store. May God bless us on the journey so that we too may be victorious, not for any earthly fame or power or fortune, but so that we may inherit the gift of eternal and everlasting life.